I don't know how you do it, but do it actually should be the title of Jim Brandstatter's autobiography.
So my name is Daryl, and I'm sticking with it.
Oh, my God. We've had like four dial tones today. Like, I don't know, people hanging up or not paying their bills. But I can handle it because I'm a live host. I deal with the good and bad, and I'm okay. How you doing, Brandy?
You're a broadcast professional. I'm doing great, and I'm glad you're calling because, you know, basically, over the last year, that's all I get is dial tones, too. Nobody wants to talk to me anymore, the old retired guy that I am.
Well, there's two things I wanted to get to. We'll get to the spring game and Coach Moore's first time as head coach in any – well, not first time as the only head coach, not filling in last year for Harbaugh during the suspension. But we'll get to that in a moment. You were with the Lions for years as a color commentator on their network. The new uni reveal last night, the black with the blue helmets, which I love, the Honolulu blue, the white. I'm not quite sold on the white kit, which will be the rogue kit. What do you think from what you've seen from the new Lions uniforms?
You know, I'm so jaded by the marketing aspect of the NFL. And everybody's trying to, you know, make sure that you sell the uniforms and the stuff in the shops, you know, in the Lions Den and all that other stuff. And so I get it. And they're trying to make it look good so that kids will buy it and wear it on the street and wear it to their birthday party. So from that sense, it's a marketing ploy. And from a standpoint of, you know, fashion and what we as fans would like, I'm a traditionalist. One of the neatest uniforms I think I've always seen over my years was when they went to the throwbacks, and they didn't have any logo on the helmet, and it was just the Honolulu blue, the silver pants. I'll never forget, we had a Monday night game in Dallas, and they wore their throwbacks, and it was just great, and they won the game. And I just thought, you know, that's me being a traditionalist, Bill, so you know what that means. I'm old and decrepit, but I love that old look.
I remember that Monday night game with the throwbacks, and Barry went nuts, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, he did. He did. As a matter of fact, I have a picture in my office from the next day, the Dallas Morning News. Had a picture of Barry making a cut, and literally they got him head to toe, and he's making this cut, and his body's like 45-degree angle from turf, and the turf is actually rippled where his foot was. Think about the torque he put on his foot to ripple, and you can see it in the picture. And when I saw it in the newspaper, I called the newspaper up, and I said, I want to talk to that guy. Whatever it costs, I want to buy that picture. I did, and I had Barry sign it. And it's one of the lasting pictures I've ever had because it's a great, great shot of his physical ability on his ankle to literally move a carpet in a stadium so that it actually rippled where his foot was contacting the carpet.
You know, you've been through it all with the Lions, the good and the bad and the ugly. And now you look at the Lions from stable ownership, stable front office, stable coaching staff, depth now on the roster where the draft really is about bonus players, depth players, maybe a starter from round one or two or three. But the Lions, what they've been able to do right now is unprecedented in my mind.
Yeah, it appears they're getting it right. And to me, the biggest thing in the offseason, everybody talks about free agency and who'd you lose and who'd you get. The Lions won the offseason by keeping both coordinators. That continuity, Bill, is just money in the bank for what they had a year ago. And I think that more than anything puts them in great shape as they move forward into the 2024 season.
I agree. They're top two team in the NFC right now with San Francisco. I think top four or five if you were looking across the NFC. And, man, when you don't have anything to complain about with the Lions, I'm trying to remember in my 23 years across Michigan, that's a first. And
That's a never.
A never. That's why I'm going down that same path in Neverland. So it's really cool to watch, and they're set up for a 5 to 8 year run where I think they will finally get to a Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl for the franchise and the players and the coaches and the people of the Lions Nation. They'll get it done.
It'd be wonderful for the city of Detroit, but not just the city of Detroit, but the state of Michigan, because that team is a state.
Amen.
Everybody from like you were talking about, you know, from Ottawa to St. Ignace to the Upper Peninsula to Bay to Alpena to Monroe to St. You know, to Benton Harbor. That team is a statewide team, and everybody in the state would love to see it happen. I think Dan Campbell's the right guy. He's the perfect, I think, you know, fit for that group, and he brings in guys that likes to play his kind of football, and that's what it takes. And clearly, they're getting it right.
Let's move on from the Lions to Michigan. From your Michigan insiders, the people you talk to, what's the early vibe on Sherrone Moore? I know we won't know until they play games for real in the fall, beginning with Fresno State, but in filling Harbaugh's shoes, that's a big job to do with what Harbaugh did the last 3 years, three straight Big Ten titles, three straight college football playoff appearances, and ended his career as a Michigan coach with that national championship over Washington down in Houston. What's the word on the streets and behind closed doors about Sherrone Moore so far since taking over?
Well, the word has been very, very good. I mean, I think the most important thing is when he was named the head coach, all the players were for it. I mean, they all said there's only one choice. This was the guys on the team, like Donovan Edwards and some of the guys that are coming back, and the guys that were leaving. You know, so it was universal. So to me, that spoke volumes of whether Sherrone was the guy or not. He was clearly the guy. Now, it's just what you said. The proof's going to be in the pudding. You know, the wins are what make you, and how you do. And to be quite frank, this is the most impossible situation for Sherrone ever. You got a schedule that's off the charts hard. Ohio State, after we won the national championship, decided to go out and buy maybe the most talented football team in America. And so you've got yourself already a big mountain climb. And so I hope people understand that that's kind of where Sherrone is headed. He'll take on the challenge, and every player on that roster will take on the challenge, and they'll want to win every game. But let's face it, Bill, we could have a 2-hour-long conversation in regards to college football has changed. I mean, you could be 2 losses now, and as long as you get in the top 12, you're okay because you're in the playoffs. And that's kind of the way college football has gone. The Big Ten championship's not going to mean much anymore. If there is a Big Ten, because, I mean, look at Ohio State. I don't think they care if they win the Big Ten championship. They just want to win the national championship. And I think all the other schools that are going to be vying for those top 12 spots for a playoff, that's all they care about. They don't care about their conference affiliation. So let's rethink, what's successful and what's not these days, because college football, and it's not over. The change is continuing to come. And I think Sherrone is in great position. He's got a great talented team. He's got a wonderful university and a wonderful group of administrators behind him, but he's also got an absolute, mine field ahead of him as he enters his first year as the head coach following a national championship.
You know, I said it when the season ended, even in all the celebratory comments and the vibe on winning the national title, that if Harbaugh stayed with what they were going to lose, including the combine record, 18 guys invited to Indy from Michigan, that I thought this was going to be an 8-4, 9-3 top season and a battle to get into that 12-team playoff, even if they had Harbaugh, and maybe even to the point if they had J.J. McCarthy. That's how tough the schedule is. When you look at the competitive imbalance of college football with those who are paying for rosters, and Michigan right, isn't one of them, they are getting some form of NIL money, but not what you're seeing in other places, including Ohio State, that I thought just on a 3-year run with those three Big Ten titles, beating Ohio State 3 times, college football playoff, Final Four 3 times, with a natty, with 18 guys off to the NFL, that 9-3 would have been a heck of a season, and I lean more towards 8-4.
No, I don't disagree with you. I think you're absolutely right. And to reinforce that, you're heading into uncharted territory and all kinds of other things where you know, your standard now of what your regular season is will change. Maybe two losses is going to be an undefeated year. I mean, if you think about it. And that's going for everybody because it isn't going to happen the same way as it did before. Alabama's going to have their troubles. They lost a lot of players when Nick left. So they're not going to be up there anymore, and there's a new guard coming. Ohio State probably benefited most because of, you know, their particular feelings toward the University of Michigan and winning that national championship. They really, I mean, closed quarters. I mean, they circled the wagon, and they said, this is not going to happen again. But it's not going to happen again in the context of what college football is. It's totally different. And and I think we're going to see that in the next 2 or 3 years. You're going to have so much to talk about of how this whole college football dynamic changes going forward. It's just, it's not going to be the same.
Well, think about Saban. He saw Oklahoma and Texas coming to the SEC. He got out. He understood that. Harbaugh goes and takes the right. LA Chargers. He knew he had 18 guys that were leaving and off to the NFL. Little, and you didn't know about portal guys like Sab, who was starting for Alabama in their A game in the spring last weekend. Right. And you added USC, UCLA, Oregon, and Washington, four college football powers to the mix. So you're right. Trying to run the table in the Big Ten isn't going to happen anymore unless you just have a god-awful league, or you are truly loaded with NIL players.
If you lose one, you know, going through that whole murderer's row, if you lose one, that would be incredible. I mean, that would just be incredible. And you know, one other thing to add to your comment, think about how the change has been. Chip Kelly, who had a head coaching position at UCLA, one of the best programs in the country, right? He quits that job on his own to take a secondary position as an offensive coordinator at Ohio State. And you know his answer? I thought it was interesting because they asked him afterwards, and he says, you know why? Because I want to coach football. He doesn't want to be in a meeting with a general manager of his team or in a meeting with an NIL collective or a meeting with an agent of a young man who's thinking about going to school. He wants to be in a meeting with his quarterbacks. That's where we have this game has gone, and I think the pressure on the head football coach of every big program across the country is absolutely incredible, and it's so much of a different animal now that you almost have to make the rules as you go along because they're changing every day. And Chip Kelly's move, just to me, along with Saban. And along with Jim moving on, it just to me, and it's going to happen in basketball, you know. Jay Wright, the guy from Villanova, he moved on. He saw it coming. Tom Izzo's going to stick around, but before long, I think it's going to get to Tom. But you just, it's a different animal anymore. And I think Chip Kelly's move shows you a little bit about, you know, where it's going from the head coach's point. That if you just want to be a football coach, you got to be an assistant. A head coach now has to wear five or six different hats. And I don't know whether there are a lot of guys who want to do that when they're really committed to being football coaches.
Yeah, and one thing Chip Kelly also knows, that days on the hot seat, he could step right in. Who knows, in season, if not at the end of the season, a lot to talk about. It is the off-season Michigan spring game tomorrow at noon. Jim Brandstatter, former voice of Michigan football, also was on the Lions radio network for decades. You still have the podcast?
Sure do. It's going to be up this winter. I've got a couple things going on. I've got different people coming on the podcast. The book's still for sale, Voices of Michigan Stadium. You can go to jimbrandstatter.com. You can get a CD copy. You can get a download, or you can get the paperback. So still doing all that stuff, still staying busy.
Brandy, good to hear your voice, my man. We'll stay in touch. Enjoy the spring, okay?
I can't tell you how glad it is to talk to you, Bill. Appreciate you keeping me on the radar.
Oh, always will, man. We'll never forget the Brandy era.
God bless you. Talk to you later.
All right, Jim Brandstatter checking in on the Meyer guest line.